Hi, this is Denise LaRosa, and you're listening to Mom Talk with Denise LaRosa, a podcast show created by a mom for moms. I do not take for granted that you have a lot on your plate, yet you are taking the time to listen to my show. I am truly grateful. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/momtalk. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Be sure to stay connected by visiting www.denisenlarosa.com, following me on Twitter at Denise N. LaRosa, and liking my Facebook page, Mom Talk with Denise LaRosa. It is my hope that Mom Talk with Denise LaRosa will motivate, inspire, and inform you along your journey in motherhood. So let's dive in. As a parent, you are your child's greatest educational resource. Essentially, you are your child's first teacher. As a former elementary school educator, I can tell you that nothing is more detrimental to your child's learning than tension between you and your child's teacher. The homeschool connection must be strong, with all parties working towards the same goal, the educational success of the child. A-Plus Schools is the community advocate and leader for educational equity and excellence in Pittsburgh's public schools. Its core purpose and focus is to remove any barriers to equity in our schools. A-Plus Schools is dedicated to educating the public, increasing awareness, and engaging the community in efforts to advance change. Amy Mattson is the community organizer for A-Plus Schools. Amy is a recent graduate of the University of Pittsburgh, where she obtained her master's in social work and a certificate in human services management. She has been actively involved in the nonprofit arena for over 10 years in multiple cities, including San Jose, Los Angeles, and Pittsburgh. Her work has primarily focused on school readiness and school-aged activities and engagement for the entire family. Please take a listen to my conversation with Amy about the homeschool connection and how parents and teachers can work together to ensure academic success for their children.
One of the things that was really important to me in that role was the homeschool connection, really keeping the lines of communication open and really involving the parents, actively involving them in their child's educational experience. So if you don't mind, Amy, just kind of break down for us what A-Plus Schools does to bridge families and schools together, because I know you all do some fantastic work.
Yeah. My line of work then specifically, I'm a program manager for our parent-led programming here, but it falls under the umbrella of our Parent Nation group. So what we do a lot of, I think, is because this is then my sole purpose of my position, unlike a teacher or other school staff who has a million other things on their plate, I have the time then on my hand to build that personal relationship to help get parents in the door and into a space that they might not have felt comfortable in before for whatever reason. So just from having a familiar face and someone inviting them in that they have a relationship with outside of the school building, I think that's one of the biggest ways we, on my side of the work, that we do what we do. I think another big part of it then too is that we boost their confidence by equipping them with the knowledge that helps them feel more prepared or secure in that space. So I know that's definitely a lot of ways that we help bridge the gap, is because sometimes then parents feel like it's kind of like something foreign to them then, where they might not feel as confident in it. But once you just get the knowledge in their back pocket, it gives them enough confidence to feel like they have the right to be in, or have the knowledge and capacity to be in that space.
I love that, Amy. And that's so critical, because oftentimes some parents did not necessarily have a positive school experience themselves, and either that or they don't feel like they have an equal playing field as far as their educational background, putting that up against the teacher's educational background. So I just love how you just level the playing field, so to speak, for the parents. And you mentioned Parent Nation. If you don't mind, Amy, explain a little more what Parent Nation is all about.
So in our Parent Nation groups, we work in multiple different Pittsburgh public schools, sometimes where there's a need due to either the demographic of the school, or because then there's a personal request from school staff to have our presence there. And on a day-to-day basis, we work with those groups organizing with the parents. The parents are, you know, our primary participants, organizing around issues that they're concerned about or ways that they want to help support the educational efforts that are going on in their school building. And then once a month, we pull everyone together that we've been working with throughout the families of Pittsburgh Public Schools. We pull them all together and host it at a different school each month, and the parents of that school run the first portion of the meeting to talk about stuff they have going on in their building, things that are working really well for them, or even using it as a chance to get feedback from other parents in other schools and really network with one another. And then the last half of the meeting, we at A-Plus have a presentation or some kind of workshop or interactive activity around a district-wide issue, so something that impacts all of their children's school experience, and kind of talk through and see how that, what that means, what that looks like, and how we move forward from it.
Wow, that is so empowering. I can only imagine how parents could maybe begin in this program and by the end of that particular cycle just walk away feeling so empowered. And, you know, one of my things that I have on my website, I have a blog actually that's dedicated to, in particular, mothers, but really just emphasizing the fact that as the parent to your children, you are your child's first teacher. You are their most valuable educational resource. And so that is just incredible. I just love that, Amy. It's incredible that you all have that available to them.
Yeah, it's really amazing just seeing the networking and the relationships that are built up between parents from the West End to the East End or North and South or vice versa. So just parents that might not have interacted before, it really creates a platform for them to connect and really build together.
Yeah, that is so powerful. I know you mentioned some of the elements of Parent Nation and the homeschool communication role that you play in that, as A-plus Schools does. But what do you think needs to be done to improve the homeschool communication, the relationships between the parents, the family members, and the educators and administrators?
Some of the biggest things that I've seen and have gotten feedback on is making sure that things go out in a timely fashion, because oftentimes it'll be the day before or something like that. And I've noticed with families it helps a lot if, say, at the beginning of the year you say, these are when our family fun nights are going to be for the entire school year, and mark stuff off on the calendar, and then of course send out reminders, but just so parents can block it off and be prepared and adjust their schedules for it. I think that's some of the biggest ways that I've seen communication really improved between the parents and the school. And then also utilizing multiple forms. So I know at Pittsburgh Public Schools they use a robocall where they send out automatic messages to the parents through their phone, so they get a voicemail with the information, or sending out flyers and or even personal texts from teachers. I know that's not always possible, but I know that's gone a long way in getting parents then in the building or knowing about what's happening in their child's classroom. So I think those are some of the easiest ways to jump in and start to bridge that gap.
Yeah, that's so important. And it's so funny because you mentioned the texting, and that was like for some family members, you know, I think it's really important. And wouldn't you agree, Amy, that it's just best to, it's like in the classroom, we talk about the different learning styles. And so for each, you know, individual parent or caregiver, there might be a particular means of communication that works best for them. And I know, like, with some of my parents, all I did all year was text, you know, like text.
Yes,
you know, others, I would email. And then some others love to talk on the phone and hear your voice or even stop by the building. And so it's really, like, tending to the needs of that particular parent. Wouldn't you agree?
It's true. I completely agree. Yeah, knowing, what works best for them. Yes, definitely. I completely agree.
That's great. So maybe perhaps a tip, you know, a little side note for, you know, the educators who may be listening, or even the parents, you know, just to let the teacher know right away at the beginning of the year, this is the best way to contact me, you know, whether that be through text or email. So then that way, you know, like, let's say that I'm an email person and I'm emailing a parent who maybe doesn't check their email, but every like 2 weeks or something, you know, so that right there can pose a problem. I've been there, done that, unfortunately. So
And I think too, like, I've seen some of the school staff do it at the back to school events or in the open house, or just send home a note at the beginning of the school year with the student that has the parent mark off, this is the best way to reach me, so phone, text, or email. And I think adjusting to accommodate to what's the person's comfort level is really important.
Yes, I love that.
More with Amy from A-Plus Schools after this brief message. For more than 10 years, Positive Parenting Solutions founder, parenting educator, and Today Show contributor, Amy McCready, has been developing and teaching the tools, mindsets, and strategies that have helped more than 60,000 parents in over 20 countries and 6 continents transform their homes from chaos to calm. She's helped them stop yelling and start living the life they imagined. She's taught skills to raise capable, independent, resilient, and respectful children without raised voices excuses, or giving in to guilt. With the Positive Parenting Solutions curriculum, parents worldwide have felt more empowered, better connected with their kids, their partners, their spouses, their family, all in ways many never even dreamed possible. I have teamed up with Positive Parenting Solutions to offer you a free webinar. Be sure to visit www.deniseinlarosa.com and click on the Positive Parenting Solutions banner to get your free spot and begin on this life-changing, family-changing journey.
What about the role of being actively involved in your child's education? So shifting gears a little bit, because we have the communication piece that we just covered, but as far as being actively involved, how can mothers and fathers, really, I just said mothers because the show is called Mom Talk, but how can parents and caregivers, you know, how can they be actively involved in their child's education?
It's such a wide range, and every way of being involved, I think, is equally important, because I know a lot of times, and there's that book out there called Beyond the Bake Sale, and I think people get caught up in the, well, if I don't go to these events, or if I'm not volunteering every day, then it doesn't count or doesn't matter. But I think that's extremely false, because I've just noticed it with the parents that we work closely with, many who work multiple jobs or have many different responsibilities pulling them in different directions. Those that can, they do come in and volunteer in the school, which I definitely think is really huge. They're in the classrooms, they're helping the office staff, they're in the lunchrooms. But another way then too, that some of the parents who, because of their work schedule, the one school is about to start doing Friday club, and the one mom is, and it's once a month on a Friday, and the mom is able to come in and do a sewing club with the kids. So even though it's not on a regular basis, she's still in there actively engaging and giving the time and the skills, sharing that with the students. But also then, even if you're not able to, because of your work schedule, ever even make it into the school building, I think just making sure that from a parent's side, you're keeping that line of communication open. So sending notes with the child for the teacher to read, or making a phone call or emailing the teacher, just to keep that line of communication open, because kids notice those things, and kids notice when you're in communication. So however it takes, just to show them that you're invested in their educational experience and that it's a partnership happening between the parent and the teacher, I think then goes a really long way.
Oh my goodness. I couldn't agree with you more, Amy. And just speaking from a teacher's point of view, it was just, I couldn't emphasize enough to parents that whenever your child realizes and actually visibly can see that we are communicating, we're on the same page, it makes it so much easier for the teacher, because, you know, even within the household, let's say you have two parents or two caregivers, children, you know, let's keep it real here, they can play one against the other. They'll test you. So what I would find is the parents that I really had a very open line of communication with, those children tended to have fewer behavior issues, or if I had a lot of behavior issues from that child, it was easy to redirect them by saying, you know, your mom wouldn't like that, or your dad and I talk, I'm going to have to give him a call, or remember when your mom said, and so it would just almost cease the negative behaviors, like instantly.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, to get that negative phone call from your child's teacher is a hard pill to swallow. I think one of the things that can help alleviate that is just having a good relationship and line of communication between the teacher and the parent.
Yeah, definitely, definitely, yeah. Huge.
What are some resources and tools? I know that you mentioned Parent Nation, and that's huge. I think, Amy, just the very beginning of this talk, just to mention that, I'm sure a lot of family members, a lot of parents didn't realize that existed. So what, in addition to that, are some resources and tools that mothers, parents, and caregivers in general can tap into that will help them support their child's education?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I didn't want to miss anybody that I know is a critical resource or a tool for parents, any organizations out there, because a lot of them then are neighborhood specific or specific for a certain age group, or if there's a certain learning support that a student needs. So there are a lot out there, and I think, you know, connecting through the school and asking the school what resources exist neighborhood by neighborhood, but some of the biggest things then that popped in my mind is the local library, because I was also trying to think of what's accessible to all parents as well. And the library, I think, is a huge resource. There are so many programs for all age ranges, even, you know, through teenagers, that exist in the local libraries that can be really, really supportive of the schools. I know in a lot of the schools then that I work in too, the library is staff from the library are volunteering at our events, or, you know, just trying to be as supportive as possible, both in the school and then outside of the school. They do a lot of summer programs. And then I also think that any of the local community centers or YMCAs or things like that, they have a lot of supports in place as well that can be really helpful. And I was also thinking something else I've learned along the way too, is that asking the teachers in the grade that's above your child, so say if you have a child in second grade, asking the third grade teacher for any of their extra worksheets or items, especially at the end of the school year, because they're eager to clean out the room, so that you're constantly working on you know, academics with your child. So even during the summer, and you're just continually working on it and pushing them to the next level. I think that's something that's really easy to just go in and ask for. And teachers, like I said, especially at the end of the school year, from what I've seen, are eager to get rid of all their extra worksheets and such.
Oh, yes. I absolutely. I mean, and it was so fun, because I even remember as a student, I just absolutely loved getting those worksheets and workbooks and textbooks, and I would just play teacher all summer long. But then again, you know, I'm a little bit of a nerd. You know, I don't know if that's so cool now, but, you know, I absolutely became a teacher. But I think it was, like, really important, because I was learning in the process, and it was just really cool. And also from a teacher standpoint, I mean, we're just, you know, I hate to throw things away, and I had a paraprofessional in my room, but a little shout to Denise Bandria, and she was hilarious. Mm. She did not want to see anything go in the trash, and I didn't either, but she would even get creative with, like, these most bizarre, like, random items in the classroom, and would just find some creative way to use them next year, like the next year, or even, you know, make something to give to a student. So, yeah, we definitely love to pass those things down. And I love that giving, you know, going to the teacher a grade above is huge. And you said something, Amy, that I did want to kind of touch on, because it's real important. We hadn't really planned on discussing it, but you were mentioning things to do during the summer, and that is so important, because
definitely,
I feel like, you know, I would see such a huge difference from the children who maybe participate in some kind of learning program over the summer. And we're not saying that, you know, I know there's the big debates when going to school year round, but you mentioned the library, the local YMCA or YWCA, or, you know, what have you. So is there anything else you would like to add to that, like the importance of that?
I just know, you know, how much of the academics that the kids pick up on, how much can be lost then over the summer. I mean, it's just like anything, you have to keep practicing at it, and or else you use it or lose it, as they say. So in the summertime then too, just keeping that as a part of the routine, however it works. So if they're enrolled in some kind of program, or if it's once a week you go to the library for a special activity or event that's going on, or even then I've seen parents do it where in the summertime they'll have a math worksheet and some kind of English or reading activity that take maybe 15 minutes to a half hour, but it's still then that regular routine that keeps their wheels turning a little bit. So, and keeping them, you know, just academically engaged, I think is really huge. So then it makes it even easier too, as you're transitioning back into a new school year, just to, it's still part of the routine, and it's not like you have to get them revamped up for the next school year. It'll just transition right in.
Yeah, that's huge. And it doesn't require a lot of time or a lot of money. And you hit on those two points. It can be something as simple as, like, what you were saying, a worksheet or a single activity a week, and that will go such a long way. So that is so important.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to stay in touch with me by visiting www.deniseinlarosa.com, where you can sign up for my newsletter, get some valuable mommy resources, and giveaways. You can also follow me on Twitter at Denise in La Rosa, on Facebook, Mom Talk with Denise La Rosa, and or email me at Denise@deniseinlarosa.com. You have been listening to Mom Talk with Denise La Rosa. I will leave you with this quote by Alice Sterling Honig. Family is the first school for young children, and parents are powerful models. Thank you for listening.